Facts are live.
Okay. Good morning. It's 10:11 a.m. Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. This is the discussion. There's no case number attached to this discussion, but it's a discussion about electric vehicles. And we also have John Hsu, legal counsel, Brian Johnson, legal counsel, and then Conrad Crawford, who is the director of compliance. So he is here as well, and I've got a few other people in the room, but I don't know, how do we want to tee this up? Do you have some initial thoughts you want to share, either of you?
Well, I don't even know whose jurisdiction this would fall under, or which portfolio, rather, not jurisdiction. I've got some thoughts on the topic, but I'm glad to defer to if anybody thinks that it falls under a particular jurisdiction.
I don't think it does. Portfolio. It was just one of those things that I was getting CC'd on emails on the interim committee, so I brought it to the work to the last commission meeting to throw out there so we could discuss that type of thing, like who's working on this from the agency and what issues we need to be thinking about. And then in our conversation at the meeting, our last meeting, I believe, we started talking about what other commissions have done in terms of proactively establishing whether they do or don't, and in most cases don't view this as being a jurisdictional issue, so that the industry and all the stakeholders kind of know where we stand and don't have to come requesting a jurisdictional determination. So that's one of the issues that I think we need to talk about, and how we want to proceed. But then a whole bunch of other issues came up as we were discussing it in our meeting. So I think we just need to sort of outline what sorts of things we want to be doing in this space, and how we want to interact with that interim committee.
I think it through as far as portfolios, it fits into two portfolios. And one is the utility regulation, mm-hmm. and another is weights and measures, and they both fall in the chairman's portfolio. So
yep.
I'll defer to you and weigh in whenever okay. you ask me to.
My thoughts are, first, let's have a discussion about the jurisdictional aspect of this, and I have questions related to charging stations. Can a charging station, a network, can that even be considered a distribution network? Because I think that's the litmus test, correct, in terms of whether or not we have any jurisdictional authority over that resale of power, for example?
I think it really comes down to how you interpret our statute and our definition of public utility. I know a lot of states have looked at this. The vast majority that I've read and read the reasoning behind found for one reason or another that it is not a public utility subject to rate regulation.
So the answer would be highly what if an IOU is got into the business of charging stations, for example?
Well, I would imagine that kind of depends on how the setup is. I know some states, for example, I found that the utilities can't own or operate the charging stations, as in like maybe Montana, Dakota can't as the utility. Other states, I think probably another option would be to disallow that part of it because it's kind of something separate if you view it as not part of your distribution services. If you want, I could just read off the statute of our public utility to start off with. That helps.
That'd be helpful. You have that memorized, Jack?
I do, but I don't want to misspeak.
You don't want to get any word wrong.
Right. Well, this is important. The words matter.
Yes.
490201 sub 4, electric utilities engage in the generation and distribution of light, heat, and power. And that's the main, I guess, crux of what type of entities are subject to our jurisdiction. And I think probably if we follow along with our reading it, and probably the reasoning of the other states, we would probably find that it's not a public utility engaged in that practice. That most of them found that it's sufficiently different than
light,
utility
heat, and
practice.
Power? Did you say what are the?
Sure, light, heat, and power.
Okay. And this isn't power?
This is power, yes. But I think instead of looking at it as a utility engaged in generation and distribution, we're looking at it as a, this is almost an end-use customer providing a service, is what some states have done.
End-use customer. Okay. 490204, is that what you said?
490201, sub 4. And so, for example, we've come back to this section a couple of different times. For example, there was different groups that came to the state, and they had some interest in providing some sort of heating system, geothermal or something like that, that was maybe integrated. And we had probably informally discussed this among staff and whether we regulate them. A lot of times we found that we would under the definition. Of course, as here you can see, they're all separate individual charging stations. And I guess we at this point in time, we don't know their business structure. We don't know how they're going to operate on the front end, whether you're paying for the time at the charging station, whether you're paying per kilowatt hour or so forth.
Does it matter?
Well, I think it'd be easier to make an argument that they were essentially selling and distributing electricity if they are buying it from somebody and then distributing it through their technology.
But you said time versus what?
First kilowatt. So if you're actually providing that power, on a kilowatt basis, there may be some discussion on that.
So well, I think then it would sure fall under weights and measures.
The charging station itself would be essentially another meter for if it was served by an IOU, the power, for example. So it would work its way back to us in that fashion, through just the sale of power to metered customers wherever they are. It would just be a commercial customer. And that's speculative, but I think invariably some of the IOUs are going to provide power to these stations. And again, a metered customer. And then we get into a bigger question, which, from a weights and measures standpoint, what type of equipment do we have to have to go out and measure that charging station is accurate?
There are devices that are being designed, and I think there's one for sale right now that can provide that information that to be able to measure that, and as far as the output that a customer would be getting. And one thing that they determined is that, where along that entire system do they determine, how much energy is that customer purchasing? And it would be right at the end of the plug before, where you'd insert it into a car, just like a gas pump is measured right at the end of the nozzle at that point. But they're working on test boxes that are capable of doing this and handling that.
Any idea what the cost of test boxes?
Not at this point, no. I don't know.
You think that would change in terms of be any modifications to statute in terms of how the weights and measures program defines that activity, or do you think it's adequately?
I think it's adequately addressed in statute. The statute is very broad and discussing, when weights and measures is used in commerce, which the commerce is the sale of goods from one individual to another, either directly or maybe indirectly through a contract. So I do not believe anything needs to be addressed in statute. Statute doesn't even at this point address all the scales that we currently test specifically or gas pumps. It's very broad and gives us that authority at that point. So I would view it that it currently falls within the commission's umbrella. I think it depends upon how the business is set up and how we view, if the utility, owns the meter, subject similar to how the utility has the meter at your residence, that's not a jurisdictional area for weights and measures. We don't regulate those electric meters. We don't regulate the water meters that are installed at a residence either. But if the business is purchasing, their power from utility and then they in turn are selling it to a customer and distributing it, then that would fall under us because those meters would be subject to weights and measures. Similar to gas pumps, it's, you're purchasing electricity at, a charging station just like you purchase gas at a charging station. Really, it gets down into how's the business set up and how's that meter work between the utility and the business itself.
I'm going to have to change my my spiel when I'm out talking and speaking to people, where, you know, I say making sure a pound is a pound and, you know, a gallon's a gallon, and now it's an electron's an electron.
Right? There you go. You can add to it.
Well, I think in many instances where these are set up, they are just getting around having to deal with that by charging flat rates, or
right. Some businesses out there in other states, they're charging based off of, you know, we're going to charge you $35 to park in this parking spot. Whether you choose to use the vehicle, the charging station or not, is irrelevant. So that would get around the weights and measures aspect.
Yeah.
So a lot of it kind of depends upon that. But I think this is a good conversation to have, because this is definitely up and coming, and we do foresee, you know, on a national level, within the weights and measures community, that this will be something that is similar to the structure of a gas station setup, where you're going to have franchises out there and you're going to have more charging stations. So
and you're already seeing them with the, I mean, they have a little plug that looks like a gas spout.
Right.
It looks like the same type.
It's similar because
it's
making sure users are easily able to use it.
Yep. Pull it out and it looks like a gas.
Yep, so that's what a charging station
is. And as they become more common, as it becomes more common, I think this is something we need to prepare for, and I think it is important that we be prepared to either do the testing, or that make sure of what other testing, third-party testing company is available. Because as the EVs become more common, I expect we'll have people who will be on, you know, discounted rates at certain times of the clock, and will want to get home and charge there, but maybe they're on a trip and they're, you know, at Steel or somewhere and not quite sure they have enough charge left and just want a little bit, and also don't want to spend the whole time that it takes to fully charge the car, and then they don't, you know, they're not going to want to pay as much as it would cost to park for 3 hours or something. So I think this will evolve into something more technical.
And I think it'll be an important most option. Charging stations, it's not just, you know, pay to park for a couple of hours. It can be pay to park. I would imagine you could also just go in and get a specific amount of energy.
Right. And the way, you know, the thought process is going to be different with EVs. You know, when typically now when we pull up to a gas station, we top the tank off and we say, all right, we're full. Drivers of electric vehicles, that's not really the way that they're going to operate, because depending upon how long they have to charge that vehicle, they don't necessarily need to get it to 100% every time they stop. They might get it to 80%. They might be short on time. So then you have superchargers out there and fast chargers that will give you more energy at a faster rate, which may then change the cost of that versus if you elected to do the slow charge and you're going to go, you know, do some other things. So there's some variables that come into play with that. And the biggest concern that I see for it is, you know, if it's, you know, a private business that's basically kind of like a franchise and set up like a gas station that is, you know, selling this power and has these charging stations installed, if we don't, you know, if we don't see that as jurisdictional to us, then there's really no check and balance for that consumer utilizing that charging station. If it's a utility that owns it and it's their meter, then that's obviously subject to the utility meters, if that's the way, you know, if that's kind of a direct sale and kind of how the commission may view that. Or
if that falls under rate regulation.
If that falls under the rate regulation at that point. But so we want to ensure that we have that confidence level there.
The whole flat rate thing, it seems like if I'm a business, I'm going down this path, I'd probably go that route just to avoid this oversight.
Sure. And I can see that happening initially, but over time, in the popularity of these vehicles growing, there's going to be networks that are going to need to be, you know, improved and made more robust to accommodate it. And some of the discussions we've had,
you could still do flat rates for less time. I mean, you could envision completely circumventing this whole measuring of the power through
various methods. I don't know, though. I mean, if I just want enough to get home, you know, and not fully top off the tank, I don't want to
pay $5.
I don't want to pay for a full charge, so to speak. And
Yeah, but you could have a five-minute, $5 charge. You could do it all.
But I think that's speculative. I don't know. I wish I had more information in terms of how many charging stations, just flat rate, are they specific in terms of the exact amount of energy and you're charged, you know, times X amount, or do they do both? And how are other states that have a high penetration of, you know, we don't have a very high penetration of electric vehicles right now. We will, I'm sure, right, in the course of time. But
I don't think we need to figure out exactly what's going to happen. I think we just need to be prepared. And is there disagreement on this? If they're charging just based on that you get a parking spot for some time and you pay a flat fee, is there disagreement that that would not fall under our weights and measures? There's no measuring device.
Nope.
But if they're selling it by kilowatts or some other, if there's any other measure of electricity where you're buying and paying for a certain amount of electricity, it seems to me that does fall under it, and we're going to need to be kind of prepared in case we have to ramp up and start testing those.
No, that's what I said.
The fact that a device doesn't exist yet to measure this, right? You said that those are being developed, but
there may be some on the market. I'd have to get and review that at this point.
Because I would assume places like California, and I mean, there's a high penetration, Texas, and some of these places.
They're as far as
doing, they must. So we should get a little more information, like Brian was saying.
I had a hard time imagining that that isn't substantially similar to just reading meters in the first place, though. For the electric utilities, to ensure that that happens. I mean, just common sense would tell me that there's probably the utilities already out there doing this on their own technology. I can't imagine it's a whole lot different for that.
Right.
Or maybe it is. I'm not an expert on these things, but.
Well, why don't we reach out to a state that is active in this space, assuming there is one from a regulatory standpoint? I agree. I don't want to, you know, try and push beyond what our statutory authority is by any stretch of the imagination, but I also don't want someone to come back later and say, well, wait a second, you're not paying attention to this and you're supposed to be.
There's one thing I did want to come back to, and I think it had to do with some discussion before about broader effects on the grid and so forth. There is another area of law where electric utility is defined, and that's under the CPCN, Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity area of law. And there it says that's an electric utility engaged in the that's the same one. So that is the means a privately owned supplier of electricity offering to supply or supplying electricity to the general public. And the reason why I bring this up is because this is kind of a different concept, and this is maybe from the utility, their co-op standpoints, because a charging station coming in may operate in a number of different ways, including having their own self-generation. I talked with, actually, it was Carly. There's some discussion in some states that there may be some issues with that.
With what?
Their own self-generation of power.
Yeah.
Of course, how that can affect the broader
non-utilities self-generating power?
Right, non-utilities self-generating power for these. And, of course, when it's not being used in the meantime, then, of course, I'm sure the intent would be then to go back into the grid and how they may affect the, you know, I guess the distribution facilities around that. And the CPCN is actually one of those areas that provides us an opportunity to look at how that one utility affects another utility in an area. We usually send out a notice, and, you know, a utility can comment on such things. I imagine a lot of these things are already currently taking place. If a utility has a person who's going to provide their own power to themselves, is frequently just is done through tariffs and through the company agreements with the customer. But I just want to at least highlight that area as well, because that might be something worth discussing going forward.
Well, we want to be very clear that the same principle applies. We don't regulate RECs. Sure. I thought you had mentioned that's how they want to do that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm just providing you the law and what other people have done. You guys haven't decided this yet, so I'm just kind of giving you a couple different avenues or things to think and look at. Right now, it's in a very preliminary stage. I mean, we could sit here and have all these discussions, but there's also that legislative working group with all the stakeholders who are trying to work through all these different issues as well. And I think to an extent, until we know how this is going forward is and how they're planning to try to work this public and private electrical network and corridor, it'd be difficult for us to really absolutely nail down our laws and regulations to that.
We talked about this the other day, and after our meeting today, we suggested that maybe the next step would be sitting down with utilities. And I think that would be in the utility shareholders, just to see what they're thinking about this, what concerns they have, what, you know, areas they see they'd maybe want clarification on, or areas, you know, where they've already see it as like, this is exactly how we see it, and, you know, don't mess around here. I just think that would be a helpful conversation.
Absolutely.
Separate from that working group.
And I think, what's the section of the CPCN?
Sure, that is 4903-01.5, I believe. Or so, 490301. In general, 4903, that chapter.
Because I wasn't thinking along that section of law. I was thinking along the 49021.
Mm-hmm.
And if I understood Brian's point, like, oh, we don't regulate the co-ops. But if under one of the sections of law, the CPCN law, if what they're proposing to do causes them to be jurisdictional, and, you know, it probably wasn't our intention and it wasn't the legislature's intention, it's the new world we live in fitting differently into the law than what was previously planned, then maybe we just need to point that out to the legislators, that unless you fix that, they could start being I don't know if they are, but it is something to review, because if something changes, it needs to be fixed or determined whether that's the new intention.
No, I think it's a very, very good point, and I think the intention or the intent, though, is very clear in that we don't overinterpret or read too far into statute. But
I have reached out to a number of stakeholders, and I think we are planning on having some discussion, because as we're moving towards the next legislative session, how is envisioned that this should move forward, we'll have to be flexible and, of course, responsive to how we how are the laws are written to accomplish and accommodate the needs.
Can you read that a piece of statute again?
The CPCN? Sure. And for the CPCNs, one of the main overarching concerns is that if you look at what we're looking at is to construct and extend a line, plant, or system that unreasonably interferes with or is about to interfere unreasonably with a service or system or any other public utility or electric cooperative claiming to be injuriously affected after notice and hearing in this title. So you can see that is really an area where we're trying to look a little bit broader, and we're also providing opportunity for utilities and co-ops to provide some input. But the definition that I provided was, electric public utility means a privately owned supplier of electricity offering to supply or supplying electricity to the general public.
So maybe privately owned is what rules them out. And
it depends on how it's set up, because if it's privately owned and they are providing electricity to the public, I mean, that's Montana Dakota Utilities,
right,
for example. I guess to the general public is, that might be an area where the discussion would be. I mean, the general public can use the charging stations. However, are we looking at general?
Well, it might not be providing. I think it's providing electricity.
Supplying electricity, yes.
So I think you'd be, depending on which side. Like, you're not supplying electricity. You're selling a parking space, or, you know.
And it depends, yeah, like I said, about how their business model is. And just to go back to our initial definition of electric utilities as well, there are a number of exceptions in there as well. So mm-hmm. when we're talking about public and private partnerships, if a municipality owns it, then of course they're not rate regulated for sure. I mean, they're a co-op or so forth. It's mm-hmm. it could lead to a very interesting mishmash between regulated and unregulated. If
to Julie's point, though, I would have a very easy time saying that someone who charges for a parking space for some period of time is not using a measuring device in commerce. And so I get that different. But to say that you're not selling electricity, that I mean, it would be a pretty hard stretch to say why somebody's paying, you know, $5 or $10 to park in the middle of nowhere for an hour. You know,
right. Other than that, but they're buying electricity. But if they are selling electricity, then are they a public utility?
It's just not used as measuring. That's we've got to make sure that it's right.
I think we're going to have to. I think we're going to make a really, or be very careful in how we interpret the definition of private versus public. Public, to me, means that you can own a part of that company, so to speak, through shares. Okay, it's a publicly traded company. Co-ops are privately held. They're member-owned. They're not accessible to people outside of the co-op in terms of, well, I want a piece of this co-op over here, for example. I want to buy some stock. Well, you can't because it's not publicly traded. So I'd like to get a little more background in terms of what drives the word public, because to me that's the definition. In my mind, an investor-owned utility, publicly held, and then you've got private. And I don't think we want to blur that line.
And for a point of clarification, the public is heavily due to constitutional constructs that led to something being a public utility. So usually when you're talking about public, it's not quite the definition of investor from an investor view. But we can discuss
that. But I think that's the intent.
Sure.
In terms of what was legislative intent way back when, I think that was pretty clear. But we can visit some more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Happy to walk you through that.
Different angles to this that
we've got. There's something that I was confused about earlier, and so I'm sure some of the people who are monitoring this broadcast and making business decisions are confused, where it definitely does fall under our jurisdiction, though. There's been different comments here made about with regard to our investor-owned utilities that are jurisdictional to us and a potential charging station, and well, they have a meter there. So I'm just going to throw out how I would see this. To me, if one of our utilities wants to get into this business as a retailer and set these up on their own, I do not think that they should be getting rate recovery or anything like that on it. I think that's just a side business that they're going into. Now, if someone else sets it up, but it's in their sales territory, and I can imagine these along the interstate coming up, you know, small towns where you have an exit and you have an uncongested space. Some farmer has a few acres before the town starts. And so you set that up, and it's in a regulated utilities area. And so now they bring service. Yeah, they have a meter there. They know how much that person setting up the new kind of a gas station, if you will, but for electric, is going to have to pay them. But that person, if they're going to sell it by the kilowatt, needs the meter to measure how much they're selling to their customers. So I guess I just want to be clear. If I do not see this as something where rate recovery should be applied, and if there's a build-out, it would seem to me it would be the same line extension charges as if someone was setting up any other business out there to be served by that regulated utility.
I see it that way too, Randy.
And even if that isn't an explicitly written law, you would have the opportunity to decide that in a rate case as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it seems like since we see co-ops going into this business, I guess I just think at some point investor-owned utilities will be looking at it too and I'm trying to be clear what I think, I guess, before they go too far. Yeah.
And again, it depends on the business model that they implement. If it's just, of course, I shouldn't say just another meter, but in effect, it's just another meter. But then it does spread from there. So, well, I think we need to be on top of it to keep it, hopefully, a clear separation.
Sure. Well, I know the couple stakeholders in the utility shareholders group, they were planning on reaching out and trying to get something scheduled, have a discussion with the commission on this and at least touch bases. So if you'd like, we could be in contact and try to get something set up as a next step.
I think that would be really useful to get their perspectives on it.
Of course.
Yeah. And it would be helpful to guide that discussion if the whoever it is kind of identifies what the issues are. And, so there's like an agenda. So
right.
We can do some research on our own or, be thinking about how we might respond to some of the questions. And if they also have, this is how we see it, that would be helpful too.
Sure.
Their evaluation on the front end.
Probably from both the weights and measures and the other side. Is there any stakeholders that would be worthwhile to reach out to? Are there any people to reach out to on your end, Conrad?
What I can do is I can reach out to the National Conference on Weights and Measures and then some other states that are probably more invested with the electric vehicles and have been dealing with it, just to gain some more perspective from that as well and provide that to the commission for that.
Do you think it would be helpful to keep them separate for this purpose, like the utility discussion separate from the weights and measures discussion?
I think so, just because, to me,
it's too confusing.
The weights and measures aspect of it is, if there's a mechanism to measure, an effective mechanism that has already been deployed or could be deployed, and it's something we're responsible for from a statutory standpoint, making sure it's distributing the right amount of energy based on, at the pump, so to speak. We want to, obviously, we have a statutory obligation to measure that, so.
I can see, doing different discussions, but especially when we're talking about the other topics outside of weights and measures, then I think the weights and measures aspect needs to fall into it, because the fact of the matter is it's developing ahead of our development of a plan or system or guidance of what our role is. And so if you're one of the businesses that is getting Volkswagen money to set some of these up, or someone that is already in the business, you might want to know whether our opinion is that selling it by the kilowatt falls under our weights and measures jurisdiction. And then if you don't want to be under that you set up a different business model for how you sell it. So I do think that in discussing with them, these people are not under our jurisdiction, they're on their own, or someone else might be, they need to know about that other part of it, too.
I agree it's an important issue. I just think it would be helpful to discuss the public utility piece, the PCNN piece, all of that, separate from the whole measuring discussion.
Yeah. I agree. I think we, we keep them separate, so to speak, and when the time comes, and if appropriate, and if we ever, get to the point where it's appropriate to bring them, mesh them, or bring them together. But I think I'd be more interested in visiting with the various stakeholders just to see what they're thinking.
Here's what I wouldn't want to happen, though. And I kind of agree, separate discussions, but I think it's just something that maybe needs to be acknowledged. I would not want someone to come in here to a discussion session that we have on the regulatory side of it, and listen in and determine that they do not fall under our jurisdiction. They can go ahead and set this up, and they set it up. And now all of a sudden they find out, now there's doing it and they're in violation because they don't have their measuring equipment, because they came to our session, but we never discussed the part about mm-hmm. the measuring devices. And so I just think at the other ones, it needs to be pointed out that there is also the measuring device aspect of it that is being handled separately.
But sure.
If it's all right with the commission, then what I would like to do is be involved in that next discussion and at least, you know, to be here to listen to it and hear the perspectives offered and be able to provide any input generally on the weights and measures. But, you know, as far as if we get into specifics as far as what other states have been doing, and I can do the research ahead of time, that we might be able to save that conversation for another time when we specifically talk about it. But I'd still like to be involved and engaged in that, the utility discussion on it, just to see and understand what their thoughts are and their direction and, you know, what their intentions are. Is they're going to build it out and own it, and then in, you know, 5 years they're going to lease it out to another company to operate, or, you know, kind of see what they might do. Because there are some companies nationwide that, you know, provide operation, maintenance, and they lease these units and operate
them.
For
sure. There's no reason why you shouldn't be involved in the meeting.
And one more potential reach out. You had mentioned the, I can't remember the letters of the
oh, the National Conference on Weights and Measures.
Yeah, and other states. But we deal with people who do weights and measures in North Dakota and do the third-party testing, and we oversee their people. I know you have relationships with some of those larger companies. Maybe give them a call and see. Maybe they already have this equipment.
I absolutely can. I would, at this point, they're required to register all their equipment that they use to test out there. And since we authorize them to do the testing, then it would be still subject to anything that the commission could do jurisdictionally. We just allow them to do those devices as well. So, but I can certainly see if they've done any research on that as well.
QA on that. And again, assuming, I have no idea what exists in that space.
Absolutely.
May I make a recommendation?
No.
Okay.
Okay, sure.
We should do that to me more often. I think we can open up probably two legislative iFile cases or, and then I guess start with, on the next meeting, scheduling something. We'll be in touch with the industry and stakeholders regarding the utility issues, and we can start from there. Meanwhile, while Conrad is reaching out on the separate case number, and start just gathering a record upon which we can have further discussions as well as advise you in the future.
Good idea. I noted in the minutes from the last EV group, stakeholder group meeting, the interim committee, however they're describing that, one of the questions and concerns identified was what type of legislation of PSEs should be changed.
Right.
So, that, have you been in on any of those discussions with that group yet?
I have been in discussion with Carly, because I know she's kind of, I believe, my understanding, she's spearheading it right now, and we'll definitely be working with her.
Good. So forward. Make sure Carly comes to our meeting.
Right.
So is it? Do you think it's? You think the time is now to open up iFiles on potential legislative tweaks, clarifications, whatever it might be, before we've actually had the discussion with utilities?
The opening the file does nothing except for it provides us a place to dock it.
Yeah.
Things.
Right.
So as the utilities give them, provide them to us.
Yeah. But when we're already talking about, I just don't want to send the wrong signal in terms of what our intent is from a legislative standpoint. And the answer right now is we don't know if anything needs
sure.
to be done. But it bears review just to make sure that, you know, the lines of separation remain clear.
Mr. Chairman, even though this is, technically an open record, this is mostly our internal files that we're doing this for. It's not a general case docket or anything like that.
Yeah. I think that's just good that we point that out for anyone listening in. So it's not, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, on the heels of talking about any legislative action or recommendations, I think that's good that that's clarified, just so, again, we don't send the wrong signal.
Sure.
Well, this is definitely an interesting discussion. Do you have anything else?
I don't.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, Commissioner Christmas.
Christmas season is past.
It's past.
It's coming around again, though.
All right, so we've got... All right, I'm going to just stop right there. Thanks, everyone. Anything else to add? Okay, thank you.
I'll try not to talk some.